law. I don't have to follow the law. Congress, or at least the leaders of Congress, said nothing. They wanted their president to be above the law. Were they not all Republicans? Did they not know that the president was infallible? That he was perfect? That he could do no wrong? That the law had no meaning for him? And then it came out that the president had violated the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. That he hadn't gotten any warrants for spying on every American making a foreign call. Well, Congress did nothing. They didn't care that it was expressly prohibited by law. They didn't care that the president had lied about it. Congress did nothing. After all, foreigners are inherently suspect. And if Al-Qaeda is giving you a call, it doesn't matter whether or not the courts would approve spying on them. You don't have to go through the courts. The president is above the law. Congress said nothing. So the president went further. Spied on 223 million Americans. Spied on you. Spied on me. Took our phone records. Monitored who we talked to every minute of the day for the last 5 years. And Congress said nothing. They even approved the man who did this, Michael Hayden, as head of the CIA. Heck, I'll bet they could have gotten some better people in East Germany. Well, maybe not, because Michael Hayden has violated American citizens' rights far more than the communist East German government ever did. Congress said nothing. But when the Justice Department, without approval of the President of the United States, decides to investigate a corrupt congressman, one found with $90,000 in marked bills in his freezer, and does something that admittedly they hadn't done before, goes into a congressional office with a warrant approved by a judge to search records, Congress has a fit, a temper tantrum. It's one thing to spy on 223 million Americans. Congress doesn't give a damn about you or me. But how dare you investigate a corrupt congressman? Dennis Hastert, the Speaker of the House, went through the roof. Sensenbrenner, the chairman, Republican chairman of the Judiciary Committee, is holding a hearing, folks, called Reckless Justice. Did the Saturday night raid of Congress trample the Constitution? The Constitution? What's that? For 5.5 years, the Republican Congress has treated the Constitution as a joke. They would burn the Constitution. It doesn't matter, the Bill of Rights. But now, when corrupt congressmen are being investigated, now they suddenly care about the rule of law? You know, I read this and I remember Pastor Martin Niemöller. I wasn't around then, but many know what he said with the Nazis. This is a man, this was an anti-Semitic pastor. Someone who hated the Jews. But when they came after him, he was upset. He said, "When the Nazis came for the communists, I remained silent. I was not a communist. When they locked up the social democrats, I remained silent. I was not a social democrat. When they came for the trade unionists, I did not speak out. I was not a trade unionist. And when they came out for the Jews, I did not speak out. I was not a Jew. When they came for me, there was no one left to speak out." Congress didn't speak out any of the incidents I talked about, whether it's torture, whether it's violation of the Nuremberg laws, whether it's secret prisons, whether it's literally picking up, kidnapping an innocent man, torturing him, and then dismissing his claim as, we can't talk about it, it's a national secret. When they spied on 223 million Americans, 3/4 of us were spied on, Congress said nothing. But investigate a corrupt congressman? Well, that's going too far. That's going way too far. That could send these people running our government to jail. And it should. So that's why they're concerned. It doesn't matter that Jefferson's a Democrat. It doesn't matter because it doesn't matter that, guess what, they didn't do this to Tom DeLay, the majority leader, or Bob Ney, or Duke Cunningham, or any of the other corrupt Republicans that run the place. Why was Hastert scared? Because Bush administration was leaking that he had involvements with Abramoff and he would be next. Maybe he would be. So Dennis Hastert, the Speaker of the House, a man who cares not a fig for the Constitution, a man who really doesn't care what Americans are spied on, refuses to even allow bills to be discussed that would condemn the administration. Now he gets upset. Now, hey, you know, this man knows where he lives. It's one thing to spy on the American people. It's quite another to spy on a member of Congress. Nancy Pelosi, Democratic leader, joined in. What a mistake. Look, you know, I know that they haven't done this before. They haven't investigated a sitting member of Congress by taking papers from his office. I could understand a court saying we have to be very careful about this. We have to, you know, segregate the materials to make sure that only the ones related to the crime can be looked at by the prosecution. I can understand that. But Nancy Pelosi, you've gone too far. I mean, I realize that for you, it's just, well, one more thing the Republicans have done. But when Dennis Hastert asked you to sign the letter, you should have said no. You should have sent out a letter that said that this act by the administration, bad as it is, pales in comparison with everything else I've talked about. That would have been a great letter. That would have been leadership. But we don't see that much leadership in the Democratic Party. I think they're just running scared. It wasn't just Hastert, it was the Senate leader, Bill Frist, and of course, Bush. Listen, when Congress gets mad, which they haven't before, Bush listened. He backed down. He actually did worse. He interrupted an ongoing criminal investigation and took the documents. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in this case, for the first time, the Justice Department did the right thing. They went to court. They got a warrant. They clearly have probable cause that Jefferson has committed a crime. After all, 90,000 of 100,000 in marked bills and bribes were found in his freezer. This is a time, if any time, when they need to go in and check documents. Average citizens, nobody cares about. Members of Congress, suddenly, Congress is in an outrage. But it looks like it may be too late. It looks like it may be too late because the lawsuits that citizens are trying to do against the National Security Administration are probably going to be dismissed. This is an administration that has used the secret privileges to hide all of their lawbreaking. Something that actually Richard Nixon in Watergate never attempted to do. And so a precedent begun with Sibel Edmonds came right here on this show, continuing through a German man who was tortured in Afghanistan, and now to the eavesdropping on 220 million Americans as the courts roll over too. How long will the American people sit still while our country teeters? I started to say on fascism. You know, we're not there yet. I grant that. But when you start taking away our constitutional rights and nobody speaks out and no one cares unless Congress itself is being investigated, I wonder. And when I come back, I want to talk about this secrets privilege that the administration is doing to violate the law, to hide their lawbreaking, and wonder why no one is speaking out. I mean, yeah, I know some Democrats are. Chuck Schumer, good for you. Hillary Clinton, you voted against Michael Hayden, the CIA director, good for you. Maybe the press just isn't covering it when the Democrats are speaking out. They're focused on the immigration debate, and I want to talk about that this hour too. But for the moment, I just want to reflect on the fact, and I've said it on this broadcast before, that the only way to cook a frog is to put it in cool water and slowly increase the heat. If you stick a frog in boiling water, he jumps out. And, you know, that's what they're doing to us. They're slowly increasing the heat. They're slowly taking our rights away. And who's talking about it? Who is talking about it? 888-488-MARK, 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico, 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec? Nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
If you're looking for a great deal, look no further than the CX 4600 All-in-One from Epson. No one else gives you so many great features at such a brilliant price, like individual cartridges of DuraBrite ink for water, smudge, and fade-resistant photos, and built-in card slots to print directly from memory cards. You can also restore your old photos to their original beauty, all for around $99 after a $30 mail-in rebate. Buy now and also get a $20 reward card back by mail. For more brilliant deals, visit Epson.com/promotions.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
As time flows on, there are places we return to again and again. Precious places. Timeless places. Places that, with your help, can endure forever. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places around the world.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Happy Memorial Day to all of you. I hope you're out there not just picnicking, enjoying the weather out there, but also remembering the fallen and remembering what people fought for. Because the glory of war, my friends, what glory there is not in the fighting, it's not in the death, it's not even in the winning of battles. It's in the ideas for which they fought. It is for ideas of democracy and freedom, ideals that this administration so much wants to squelch. You know, I had Sybil Edmonds on this program several times. I'll probably have her again. She is an American patriot. She, of course, discovered that there were spies in the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And that sounds extreme, I admit. But heck, check out the show. It's in my broadcast archive at RadioInsideScoop.com. The evidence is overwhelming. That there were spies in the FBI, that they told her, in fact, not to translate certain documents, and she reported it, of course, to her superiors who let them escape. One of them, Cam Mellick, her husband is a major in the Army. They both ran to Belgium. And Sybil Edmonds was fired for exposing spies in the FBI. Now, you would think the administration would be giving her a medal, the Medal of Freedom. No. In fact, when she sued to get her job back, when she sued for back damages, the administration instead said that litigating the matter would jeopardize state secrets. That sure, she was right. Sure, there were spies in the FBI. Sure, she had done an honorable thing, but they can't talk about it, and they can't reinstate her. And they can't pay her damages because it would expose state secrets. They couldn't even have a secret trial behind doors because they didn't trust the judge to know the truth. Here it is, the administration, who has routinely lied to the American people, said they couldn't trust the judge to know the truth, and the judge dismissed her case. Now, this state secrets privilege, which came out of the Joe McCarthy era, right? You know about that in the 1950s when McCarthy accused everyone in the government of being communist. This privilege was virtually never used by any administration until George Bush. In fact, George Bush has used it more than all prior administrations put together. So they used it against Sybil Edmonds, and then they went one further. When the CIA picked up a German citizen, kidnapped him, they picked him up in Macedonia, a European country, former Yugoslavia. They picked him up, they sent him to Afghanistan, and they, I mean we, tortured him. We tortured him. We tortured him. Turns out, oops, he was innocent. The man, Khalid Masri, was, we thought he was someone else. Oops. Uh-oh. We accidentally picked up a man and tortured him. Some would say perhaps that's why torture is not a good idea. Heck, our Constitution prohibits torture after trial. After finding out someone's guilty, the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. So we can't torture a man after convicting him. But the CIA and the President of the United States felt that we could torture a man before even trying him, before even determining whether he was guilty or innocent, picking up a random man and torturing him. And not only did Congress say nothing, the State Department admitted he was innocent, Condoleezza Rice admitted he was innocent to the Chancellor of Germany, and he came back and he sued. And he sued not so much to get massive damages. He was only seeking $75,000, which for being held for 5 months in Afghanistan, life was threatened and happened to be totally innocent. Frankly, I think that's a little low. I think the guy could have asked for $75 million. Mostly he wanted to talk about. He wanted to talk about the fact that our CIA director, George Tenet, knew he was innocent, but was still torturing him because he didn't want to admit he made a mistake. And what happened? Well, the courts took a look at his case. They did the same thing they did to Sybil Edmonds. Oops, you're right. Oops, we did torture you. Yes, of course, we picked you up and you were innocent and we tortured you for 5 months. But I'm sorry, you can't take this case because the courts can't look at it because Bush says we can't. And when the president says we can't, we say, Heil Bush! We refuse to have independent oversight, just like Congress refuses to have independent oversight. The president is our dictator and we will listen, the court said. It's a state secret. We won't even hold secret hearings. We won't allow this to go to court. So what's the next step? The next step is the 223 million Americans that have been spied on, we know, by the National Security Agency. 223 million Americans. And the Justice Department already, in papers filed, have suggested dismissing any challenge to the legality of this program, despite the fact that it absolutely clearly violates the law. In fact, it violates a law that goes back to 1933 and specifies that you can get tens of thousands of dollars for each violation. Multiply that times 223 million, and you end up that the government owes in fines 10 times the national debt. 10 times all the money we borrowed from George Washington today, just to, you know, because their violation was that huge. Can this go to court? You know, when I debate these issues with Republicans, they say, you know, Mark, sure the law says it's not legal. And sure the Constitution says it's not legal. But the president says it is, and even though he doesn't have any law or constitution to back him up, it will go to the courts and they'll make a determination. Not if this president has his say. His Justice Department says it can make no determination. The courts have to shut down. If the President of the United States wants to break the law, the courts have to shut down. That is their position, folks. And, you know, I know you're out and you're enjoying Memorial Day, and you're sitting as a frog in the cold water as the temperature is slowly heating up. Think about it. The president wants to break the law. He says the courts can't even hear the case. Coming up on a break, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back after this.
I'm just a cowboy who's got achy knees and the joint pain they call osteoarthritis. I tried over-the-counter pills, they weren't right for me. So I tried some prescriptions and they made me foggy. And that's when I found you, Celebrex, for joint pain relief, no more, no less.
Yeehaw! Celebrex targets the source of pain and inflammation. It's non-narcotic. It doesn't make you foggy or slow you down. Ask your doctor about Celebrex Celecoxib capsules. Celebrex should not be taken if you've had aspirin-sensitive asthma or allergic reaction due to aspirin or other arthritis medicines or certain drugs called sulfonamides. In rare cases, serious stomach problems such as bleeding can occur without warning. Tell your doctor if you have kidney or liver problems. To learn more, call 1-888-CELEBREX, visit Celebrex.com, or see our ad in Real Simple. Just one prescription Celebrex gives 24-hour relief.
Ask your doctor about Celebrex. Joint pain relief, no more, no less.
I have these nightmares. This taco, not just an ordinary taco, but this big evil taco is haunting me.
Guacamole.
You see, I was exposed to credit cards in college, and I wasn't the most responsible person back then.
Go, go, go!
I mean, I heard the words credit card and thought, hey, free money! Plane ticket to spring break? Credit card. New skis? Credit card. 135 taco dinners? Bam! Credit card. But hey, it's not too late to do something about your credit. Get ScorePower from Equifax.com. ScorePower gives you your credit report, credit score, and it puts you on the road toward the credit you deserve for just $14.95. So, check out Equifax.com today and get that taco you ate 7 years ago out of your life.
Get ScorePower at Equifax.com or 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Adios, taco.
Get the power.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop, discussing the administration lawbreaking. You know, it gets hard to show the outrage that I and many Americans feel because it's just one thing after another. I mean, when Watergate happened, people were actually surprised that the president would order people to break the law. And now we know, whether we're looking at the affair with Valerie Plame Wilson, where the vice president of the United States ordered treason to be committed. I mean, you know, Aaron Burr is the last vice president to have committed treason. Now, Cheney's number two. And I think people are just used to it. They expect this administration to be lawless. The only thing Congress cares about is when the administration investigates them for being lawless. Other than that, Congress is saying, just don't investigate us for bribing people. Leave us alone, and we won't tell the country what you're doing. Well, here we are. Tomorrow's Memorial Day. Some 2,500 Americans are dead in Iraq. Tens of thousands wounded. 30, 40, 50, some say 100,000 civilians in Iraq killed. And we're at our weakest ever. We are coming to the end of the American empire. Iran is getting nuclear weapons. North Korea is getting nuclear weapons. And they're laughing at us. They're thinking how stupid we are. What is the Bush Doctrine, my friends? The Bush Doctrine is, if you're a foreign dictator, get nuclear weapons. The Bush Doctrine is if you don't have nuclear weapons, we will attack you. We will depose you. And we will send American troops there for, oh, I don't know, decades, so that they can be attacked by terrorists and so forth. But if you get nukes, we're going to leave you alone. That's what the Bush administration is saying, and Iran and North Korea know that. Why do you think they're developing nuclear weapons? They know that we will do nothing. They know that we are a paper tiger, that we're weak. Syria is learning this too. I suspect they will get nuclear weapons next. And meanwhile, hundreds of thousands of brave American men and women are fighting for a cause that even they cannot articulate. Is the cause freedom? The name of this war is Operation Iraqi Freedom. Freedom? Freedom from what? Here at home, the administration is spying on three-quarters of us. Here on home, the administration is torturing people without even finding out if they're guilty first. Here at home, the administration is saying you can't investigate what we're doing because we have the right to break the law and keep it secret. We have the right to pick up American citizens and hold them indefinitely without trial. And Congress is controlled by those that take the bribes. If you don't vote in November 2006, then you are supporting all of us. All of us. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-MARK. So much more to talk about in the second half hour. I want to talk about Michael Hayden, the new director of the CIA, and how the Democrats didn't seem to want to oppose him very much. I'm glad that Hillary Clinton did. Many did not. I want to talk about how the CIA is so upset at the administration lawbreaking that even they, the spooks, the spies themselves, are trying to fight back. And yes, I got to talk about immigration. The bill that's passed the Senate, what it does, and why House Republicans will never let it become law. All of this when we come back, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
Here's a message about Anderson Windows from J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. If you're thinking about remodeling your home, keep in mind that windows play a big part, so it's important to get the right ones. Anderson not only offers finely crafted windows and patio doors in thousands of sizes and styles, they also give you natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and long-lasting energy-saving performance. Stop in and see the full line of Anderson Windows at J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. The pros at J.T. Hurst can locate a contractor to do the job for you or give you some helpful tips on how you can do it yourself. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first, a division of T.W. Perry. On Catoctin Circle in Leesburg, Anderson Windows. Long live the home.
How many different organizations list you as a member? You might be a member of a sports team, a book club, travel or CD club. But what does that membership really mean? Does membership in a book club allow you to vote on who runs the organization? Can you help shape the long-term future of your CD club? I don't think so. You can, however, shape the future of your electric company. That is, if you're a NOVEC customer. NOVEC, Northern Virginia Electric Cooperative, is owned by the consumers we serve and governed by a board of directors elected from the membership. Pretty cool, huh? But wait, there's more. NOVEC's customers share in the company's profits. Last year, we distributed more than $9.1 million in capital credits to our membership. The power to vote and a share of the profits. Membership doesn't get much better than this. NOVEC, locally based and member-owned. For a list of customer services, answers to your questions, and even employment opportunities, visit our website at www.novac.com.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Happy Memorial Day. I was going to take the day off for vacation, I admit, but couldn't do it. Couldn't do it because I was really surprised. I admit, I was surprised when the Democrats let Michael Hayden become director of the CIA. Yes, he has this long, distinguished history. But he also allowed the government to violate the law and spy on 223 million Americans. And when the Republicans refused to investigate this, it was time for the Democrats to say, let's filibuster. And you know why they didn't. They didn't because of a poll that came out in, I believe it was USA Today, a poll that the way it was worded was basically like, you know, if you haven't done anything wrong, do you mind if the administration spies on you? And some 50-something percent were against the program, and some 40% supported the program. Look, it's against the law. If you think, and I don't, but if you happen to think that the government should be spying on all of us, if you don't mind putting in your time card and letting the government know where you are at all times, who you're calling at all times, what you're thinking. I mean, we might as well attach electrodes to our brains, right? We might as well let the government know what we're thinking at all times. We're already in 1984's Big Brother. If you don't mind that, if you don't mind the Bush administration, who has repeatedly lied to you, and Don Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney and the like, and Karl Rove, to know everything you're doing at every moment of the day, then you know what? I want to see it in the law. Because I'm going to fight that law with every ounce of my being. But if you believe that, let's make it a law. But when did it become okay to violate the Constitution? When did it become okay to throw away the Bill of Rights? When did that become okay? I don't care what we face. I mean, this country has a history of facing things far worse than September 11th. Heck, even during the Civil War, when we were in real danger, Abraham Lincoln suspended habeas corpus, but he did so with the permission of Congress. He did so within the law. He did so within the Constitution, which allows it in cases of rebellion. How do we fall asleep? Well, one reason we fell asleep is because our press is very scared. Partly because, you know, there's the whole Fox propaganda network out there, the Republican Party's propaganda channel. We don't have a propaganda channel for Americans. And partly because even the ones that are supposed to be neutral, things like the New York Times, they're scared. The administration has threatened to prosecute the New York Times if they continue to expose Bush lawbreaking. Imagine if the Nixon administration had threatened to prosecute the Washington Post for daring to expose Watergate. But that's what they're doing. This is the kind of thing that we used to think only happened in the Soviet Union, in third world countries, in Saddam Hussein's Iraq, in Hitler's Germany. But no. No. They're threatening to prosecute the New York Times for leaking information about illegal programs. Well, I can tell you as a constitutional lawyer that illegal actions have no protection in the law. If I leak that the President of the United States is secretly torturing an Al-Qaeda prisoner, that may be totally fine with people. But since it's illegal to torture, okay, I can leak it, and he can't come after me. But that's the law, and we don't have courts that are even willing to follow the law these days, because we have courts saying, oh, no, state secrets privilege. The president is telling us to shut up, so we'll shut up. It's a very, very scary time we're living in. And Dennis Hastert, the Speaker of the House, is angry. Not at any of this. He's angry that the administration would dare to investigate. And it's not the administration, folks. It's the Justice Department. He's angry that career officers working in the Department of Justice would investigate congressmen accused of bribery and would go into House of Congress in order to do that. In fact, this, we know, wasn't the administration. The administration didn't come after these people. This was done without even informing the administration. This is what Hastert's angry about. And Pelosi's joining in. And, you know, it's like Alice in Wonderland here. It's hard to believe. I mean, I must be dreaming. I cannot believe this is happening in my country. Meanwhile, of course, the investigation into treason by the vice president is continuing. And what do we know? We know that Dick Cheney, the Vice President of the United States, was keenly interested in discrediting Joe Wilson. Why? Because Joe Wilson told the truth. He told the truth that Iraq had no nuclear weapons, and Cheney had to discredit him. He had to protect his lie, even if it meant committing treason. So we know now that he spoke to his Chief of Staff, Scooter Libby, on a daily basis about this topic, discussed multiple times each day it came out this week, that he was upset about the article. He wanted Libby to do something about it. And what did Libby do? He did what any chief of staff working for a boss without morals would do. He decided to out his wife. After all, I mean, you know, his wife worked for the CIA. Cheney told him she worked for the CIA, told him she helped him get the job, tried to discredit him. And Karl Rove, we now know, told Robert Novak, the conservative columnist who wrote the article, don't worry about it. I've got your back. I'll cover for you. Don't worry that you're exposing a secret agent. I've got you covered. And then what happens? The press secretary, Scott McClellan, lies about it. And I don't know. Are people yawning out there? Bush approval rating is too high. 29% is too high. And the fact that it's all going after because, you know, the administration sorely screwed up Katrina and gas prices. Why aren't people marching in the streets? Why is the mall in Washington not filled with people saying, the Constitution? I'll join the march. Let's hold the Constitution above our heads and say, Mr. President, we know you don't care about your oath, but we do. We do. When I come back, I want to talk about how the CIA itself is fighting back against this administration, and also talk about the immigration debate. It is the debate of the week. You can't really talk about the news of this week without talking about it. And something a little closer to home, a gunman that killed a couple police officers nearby D.C. in Fairfax, Virginia, and the excuse of the parents for why they had some 16 loaded guns available for this mentally disturbed teen. Anything else you want to talk about? It is the Sunday Weekly Review. Feel free to call in. I know many of you thought I was taking the day off for vacation, but I just couldn't resist. I had to talk about today. It's amazing to me that on Memorial Day, a day when we're supposed to remember the people who fought and died for our freedom, how they would be turning over in their graves if they knew this government, a government that does not care about the law, does not care about the Constitution, does not care about 223 million Americans, but, oh no, don't investigate a corrupt congressman. That's something they care about. We'll be right back. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
Time for another Gooberhead Award. Presented periodically to those in the news whose tongues are moving 100 miles an hour, but who forgot to put their brains in gear. Today's Gooberhead is Representative Candace Miller, a Michigan Republican who has written a bill that effectively will require all Americans to start carrying a national ID card. The idea of having to show your papers has been an anathema to liberty-loving Americans since the founding of our nation. Yet, ironically, so-called conservatives like Miller are now demanding such autocracy. This legislation would authorize the Homeland Security Czar to require all states to standardize everyone's driver's license. The Czar would set federal rules for the data that people would have to provide to get a license, requiring that every state license include such data. The feds could require your fingerprints, eye prints, or any other personal identifying information, thus nationalizing our driver's licenses. Yet Representative Miller, obtuse to the Orwellian nature of her own bill, says blithely, "I don't think this is anything that should cause anyone concern." No, it should not cause concern. It should cause us apoplexy. Not only would she let the Homeland Czar usurp the authority of states, but she also lets the feds require all of the states to funnel our license info into a linked national database that will be available to a broad range of government agencies and corporations. This amounts to a backdoor way of creating a national ID card. If it passes, you won't be able to get on an airplane, rent a car, enter a government building, or otherwise move about freely without showing your federally sanctioned papers. It creates a new system of internal passports for what we once hailed as the land of the free. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight this goober-headed stumble toward a federal police state, call the ACLU, 212-549-2500.
I'm just a cowboy who's got achy knees, and the joint pain they call osteoarthritis. I tried over-the-counter pills, they weren't right for me. So I tried some prescriptions, and they made me foggy. And that's when I found you, Celebrex, for joint pain relief, no more, no less.
Yeehaw!
Celebrex targets the source of pain and inflammation. It's non-narcotic. It doesn't make you foggy or slow you down. Ask your doctor about Celebrex celecoxib capsules. Celebrex should not be taken if you've had aspirin-sensitive asthma or allergic reaction due to aspirin or other arthritis medicines or certain drugs called sulfonamides. In rare cases, serious stomach problems such as bleeding can occur without warning. Tell your doctor if you have kidney or liver problems. To learn more, call 1-888-CELEBREX, visit Celebrex.com, or see our ad in Real Simple. Just one prescription Celebrex gives 24-hour relief.
Ask your doctor about Celebrex. Joint pain relief, no more, no less.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. One of the things that got me on air, interrupting my vacation even this week, I am a true dedicated public servant, is when the CIA itself is fighting the illegalities of this administration, you got to take notice. I mean, this is the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency. This is the agency that committed so many of the illegalities themselves, indeed some atrocities. In the 60s and the 70s during Vietnam, this is the CIA. I mean, liberals would never join the CIA for the past 20 years because they didn't like their lawlessness. Well, the CIA has had it. Here the CIA keeps informing the president of all the things he needs to be concerned about, and when he screws up, he blames them. Gary Bernson, former operative, in fact, has written precisely what the Pentagon did wrong when they lost Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan. An extraordinary thing. And, of course, one of the most extraordinary things happened just recently when you had CIA analyst Ray McGovern, a guy who used to work for the president's father, George Bush Sr., come out and watch a speech by Don Rumsfeld. Did you catch this? I don't know that he's even planning to say something, but someone came up and pointed out that Rumsfeld has been lying so much, and shouldn't he apologize for his lies? At which point Rumsfeld responded that, it's wrong to accuse the president of lying. It's so unfair, Rumsfeld said, so destructive. And McGovern says something inside him snapped. The person who challenged the president, she didn't say the president. The person who challenged Rumsfeld, she said you. She said Rumsfeld was lying, and Rumsfeld started, saying, don't say the president's a liar. So did you see what McGovern did? McGovern stood up and asked, why did Rumsfeld lie to get us into a war? Rumsfeld said, I never did. I never did. You can't find where I had a lie. And McGovern interrupted him and said, yes, you said you knew where the WMD were, near Tikrit, near Baghdad, and northeast, south, and west of there. Those are your words, McGovern said, quoting directly from Rumsfeld on Meet the Press in 2003 when he, yes, lied to the American people and told us he knew where the WMD were. Well, the crowd, which had been pre-picked like all Bush-Rumsfeld crowds to ensure that it's from those 20-something percent of Americans that still blindly support the president, they got angry. How dare a man who knows what he's talking about point out that the defense secretary lied when, of course, he did? They started to carry the guy out. Rumsfeld started getting security officials to bring him out. This is a guy, a CIA man, who used to brief George Bush's father. Amazing stuff, really. It's amazing stuff in our day. I was thinking when I saw that happen, what would I do if I were Ray McGovern? What would you do if you were him? I mean, would you say what? The whole world's watching? Would you say, why are you afraid of honest discussion? Would you say, this is America, not Nazi Germany. Get your hands off me. Would you say, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue Don Rumsfeld. That's assault. Would you call 911? I was thinking that would be fun. If I were in a briefing with Don Rumsfeld, and I asked him a question, a tough question, and he didn't want to answer it and had security take me out, I would dial 911. I would say, sir, you are assaulting me. Dial 911. Call the police. He is assaulting me. I have a right to speak. This is America. And let's carry it out. I mean, I don't know. Should I fight back? Is it resisting arrest? What country have we come to? Again, when I think of these things happening, I think of totalitarian countries. Someone speaks out against the Soviet Union. This happened recently in Russia. You had a bunch of gay activists speak out for their rights, and they were beaten up and taken away. This is America. You can't stand up and tell the defense secretary he's lying when you actually have the quote that is a lie, and you're a CIA analyst. And yet, of course, apart from John Stewart, very few American news even reported it. When we come back, I want to talk about the immigration bill and what I think is likely to happen to it. And talk about really the whole question of should there be amnesty for the illegal immigrants? Do they help our economy? What kind of immigration policy should we have? And then I want to conclude by talking just a little bit. There's only 1 hour today. Talking about the Fairfax gunman and his parents' excuse about why they had 16 loaded weapons in their home at the same time they knew that their 18-year-old son was mentally disturbed. All of that, 888-488-MARK, if you want to call in, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
Executive who studied 4 years of math, including trigonometry, and now sits in a huge office and drives a finely tuned luxury car?
Yes, Mr. Only learned basic math in school, so still have a low-paying job and have to live with your mother.
Sorry to bother you, but the vice president who took AP calculus and gets paid more than the rest of us combined wants to know if you'll be leaving early like you usually do to play golf.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll let him know. If you need me this weekend, I'll be working late filling out your expense reports and timesheets because it's the only kind of math I can handle.
Great. Simple addition and subtraction sound right up your alley.
Thanks. Have a good weekend in the country, ma'am.
I always do.
Want to get ahead in life? Learn math. Algebra, trigonometry, calculus. Because math is power. To learn more, log on to mathispower.org. A public service message brought to you by the National Action Council for Minorities in Engineering and the Ad Council.
If you've been thinking about consolidating your federal student loans, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will explain the benefits of the consolidation program, including locking in the lowest rate in history, reducing your current monthly payment by up to 58%, and cutting down multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
This is a financial update. Average mortgage rates took a slight dip this week.
Sorry to interrupt, but LendingTree.com is the only place where banks compete over your mortgage. Then you get up to 4 real offers to choose from within minutes. So do better and choose from low rates. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply. See website for details and licensing.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just a few minutes left. It's rare that the Senate of the United States these days does anything I can support. But when I take a look at the Kennedy-McCain immigration bill, I have to say, you know what? It's not bad. It's not bad. There are certain elements that I don't like. No bill is perfect. But basically what the bill does is it says that, first of all, we're going to try to keep out people who shouldn't be here in the future, that there's not much we can do about the 12 million that are already here. But for those in the future, we're going to build a fence. And we are, and it's in the bill now. It wasn't in the bill originally, and I criticized it. But now it's in the bill. There's going to be tough sanctions against employers who hire illegal immigrants, and they're going to be enforced. And I think that is the way to go about it. For those that are already here, well, there's a three-tiered process, kind of unworkable, not really my choice, but the idea is if you've been here 5 years or more, then and haven't had any trouble, you get to stay, you get a chance to pay a fine and work your way to becoming a citizen. If you were here 2 to 5 years, you have to go outside the border and apply, and then you can come back in. If you're here less than 2 years, you're deported. It's not a perfect solution. I think the part talking about the United States requiring English as a national language is useless and insulting. I mean, of course English is the national language, but you don't need Congress to tell you that. Every immigrant who comes to this country and their kids are born here, they want to learn English. I don't know of a single case where the kids don't want to learn English. There may be one. We don't need that kind of stuff. But in essence, this is a bill that I could support. There's a reason why the bill passed with a great majority of Democratic supporters and only a minority of Republicans. But it doesn't stand a chance. This bill does not stand a chance in the House of Representatives because of what Dennis Hastert, the same guy who's so concerned about the administration coming, the Justice Department sending with a search warrant people in to look through papers of Congressman Jefferson. Hastert has the Hastert Doctrine. The Hastert Doctrine is, it's express doctrine. I don't believe in democracy. What's the Hastert Doctrine? It says that we don't care what a majority of Congress wants. We will only allow a bill to be voted on if a majority of Republicans support it. In other words, Hastert believes that if you have a Democratic congressperson, you are disenfranchised. You have zero votes in the Congress. And, of course, the Republican Congress has set that up. A majority of the majorities they put out. In other words, if 26% support a bill, and those 26% are Republicans, then it can happen. But if the majority of Republicans are against it, it doesn't matter if 40% of Republicans support it and 100% of Democrats. Sorry, that's not good enough. This bill has no chance. These Republicans have to reach out to their right wing, to the nativist Republicans, to the ones who really hate diversity, who really hate multiculturalism in America. You know, there could be a discussion. There could be a compromise. Listen, I'm very sympathetic to those that say that immigration hurts labor. But those aren't the people that Hastert's reaching out to. He's reaching out to the people that, let's face it, want an all-white or virtually all-white America. And so this bill really has no chance of ever coming to the floor. And it's too bad, because I think that if you allow people to have some hope, if you allow the people that came here as illegals to pay a fine, after all, they broke the law, pay a fine but become citizens, you stop allowing the employers to mistreat them. And even if you don't give a damn about the illegal immigrants, do you care about American citizens? Do you care about American labor? It's precisely because they're illegal and working in the shadows that employers can pay them less than minimum wage, can mistreat them, and in doing so, undercut American labor. So no, I don't think the immigration bill will pass, but it'll be interesting to see how it goes into the elections. Will it be enough to revive the Republicans and get them out to vote for a president that even they now know is lying and corrupt? Will it allow them, encourage them to vote for members of Congress who even conservative Republicans now know are on the take, are being bribed? I don't know. But I want to conclude about talking a little bit about gun control, because right here, just across the river from Washington, D.C. in Fairfax, Virginia, a very troubled 18-year-old young man by the name of Michael Kennedy shot and killed two police officers. The man needed psychological help. And his parents' attorneys just came forward just a couple days ago and said that, they were complaining about the mental health facilities. They said 4 times he was sent home without getting help. 2 mental health facilities told him not to bother at all. You know, I mean, I'm sympathetic to that aspect of their complaint. I'm sympathetic to the fact that people who need psychiatric help need to get it, not just for their sake, but for all of our safety. This is a guy who's not only threatening suicide, but he claims to be talking to God. Well, I guess the president does that. But he was also talking to aliens, right? He was talking to aliens who were telling him what to do. This was a guy with severe psychiatric trouble. That's not what struck me. What struck me is that these same parents complaining about that their son was in such terrible psychiatric danger that he should have gotten some help. They had 16 loaded guns, including an AK-47, I believe, in their house. And they said, oh, well, you know, they were locked. I don't know if they were locked or not. And we didn't think he'd break into the lock. Their kid is speaking to aliens about killing, and they've got loaded guns in the household? However you feel about gun control, if you know that someone is living in your household, is mentally ill, and is talking about killing, maybe you ought to get the guns out of your house. What do you think? We need to prosecute those parents for being criminally liable. Gun owners need to understand that they have a responsibility not just for themselves, but for others who they have reason to believe might take their guns and use them. Let's use guns in the right way with our military fighting to protect us. And as far as those troops in Iraq, I feel for you this Memorial Day.